take your Bibles, please turn to Psalm number 19. Psalm number 19, we'll read verses 7 through 10 together, and we will turn to another passage when we're done there. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10, and we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Turn just another book over to Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to read one verse, Proverbs chapter 27. We'll read verse number 7 together in unison. Proverbs 27, verse number 7. Proverbs 27, verse number 7. Ready? The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, today you miraculously changed eternities for many dozens of people here. I wonder how many lives in the future were spared because of the preaching of the Word of God. Father, this evening we've sung, we've laughed together, we've listened together, we've read your word aloud together. Now we're here to hear the preaching together. Change our hearts, change our lives, so we could go out and reach more people, please. In your name, amen. You may be seated.
If you are a child that has grown up in a decent Christian home, I want you to listen to me this evening. To our Christian school students, I want you to listen in a special way. To those of you that have had the privilege of attending a Christian school and graduating from a Christian school, I wish that you had not missed the truth of tonight. I can't tell you exactly how many Bible college graduates are in our church. I know the number is somewhere between 60 and 80. Those of you that have been well trained and had a lot of investment in you, in your training for serving God, I ask that you listen very carefully. If you're a long-time servant of God, you've just been in the church for many, many years, I might be able to help you this evening in a special way. Those of you that are family members of church employees or church staff, if you're a new Christian and you're excited about the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, I would like for you to be able to stay excited. And there's something that I'll teach you this evening that I feel, if you'll listen, you can keep that fresh excitement alive in your life. I preached a little sermon to our grade school chapel, 2 years ago. And when I got finished, I went back to my office and said, I think I might preach that to our church someday. I know this is going to be on your level. It worked out okay in grade school chapel, though we've tuned it up a little bit. I'm going to read to you again a passage of Scripture, Proverbs 27, verse number 7. Why don't you do this? Why don't you turn to that passage again? Proverbs 27, verse number 7. Psalm 19 is where I'll read. You go to Proverbs 27:7. The Bible talks about the law of the Lord being perfect. By the time you get to verse number 10 in Psalm 19, it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, Proverbs 27:7, I want you to read this verse out loud with me again. Ready? The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Let's read it again. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. If you will, Tonight, I would like to show you one of the reasons why some sweet folks go sour. Has the sweetness of the things of God become bitter to you? Some of you have been in church most of your life. There are people in here, you were born, and within days of your birth, you came to church and you were in a nursery. You went to kindergarten in a Christian school. You went all the way through first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. You went into middle school in the Christian school. Then you went into high school, and you graduated from that high school. And many of you have spent much of your life around the things of God. You've spent much of your life around the preaching and the church. But I ask you a question. Is it possible that your Christian life is not sweet to you like it once was? Do you not like your Christian life anymore? Does it not have the glitter that it once had? Now, the Bible says that it likens the Word of God as to the sweetness of honeycomb. I will introduce to you tonight what I think is the most scriptural cereal in the world. And that is honeycomb. Honeycomb cereal. Now, honeycomb cereal is sweet. And I don't think that this is the exact honeycomb that God is talking about, but it will do for this example this evening. I'm going to get a couple of people to come up here and to help me. Brother Brett, I'm going to use this cordless microphone. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:7, it says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet." Let's see. Brother Nash, you're a perfect victim. I want you to come up here and help me for a few minutes. And I want to be politically correct, so let's see. Who else? Michelle, why don't you come up here and help me for a second? Brother Nash, you hold your honeycomb like you're a model on TV. Michelle, you come over here. You can hold that. There you go. You've got it. That's your honeycomb. Now, I've taken the liberty of opening the box for you. Brother Nash, calm down. I've opened the box for you, so you can go ahead and pop it open. And these are brand new boxes. Nobody's fiddled in it. Well, I guess my daughter was eating some on the way into church. But what I want you to do is, do you like honeycomb?
Yes, sir.
Okay, do you like honeycomb?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. Well, I would like for you to begin to eat the honeycomb, and you just keep eating until I get back with you. Honeycomb is good. It is very, very sweet. Is it sweet, Brother Nash?
Super.
Okay. How is it, Michelle?
Very good.
All right, very good. Now, that honeycomb is very sweet, and it's a wonderful thing. The Bible talks about honey. It talks about the honeycomb and how sweet the honeycomb is. The Word of God is referred to in a lot of different ways in regard to food. And Brother Nash, you're making a mess. Don't eat here like you would at home, okay? I seen you pick that up off the ground to eat it. Do you usually pick gum off the bottom of chairs and chew it? I can't tell you what I was thinking. Now, you take, for instance, in the Bible, bread is compared to the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 5:8. Also, the Bible compares water to the Word of God in Ephesians 5:26. The Bible compares the Word of God to milk in 1 Peter 2:2 and to meat in 1 Corinthians 3:2. It's compared, as we just read, to honey and the honeycomb in Proverbs 27:7. The Bible is the sweetest book ever written. It's sweeter than any book man has ever penned. Oh, it's a sweet thing when a lady, for instance, receives a love note from her husband. Keep eating. don't lighten up on me here. Just keep it going. It's a wonderful thing when a lady receives a love note. That's special. That's sweet. But let me tell you, the Word of God is a love note from God to His people. This book, the Word of God, is sweeter than anything man's ever written. It's sweeter than the TV guy. It's sweeter than some novel that you get a hold of. It's sweeter than any magazine that you can purchase. It's sweeter than the Wall Street Journal and any romance book or any science fiction book or any self-help book or any sports book. The Bible's sweetness never changes. It never changes. The Bible is as sweet today as it was thousands of years ago. The Bible never grows stale. Now, the Bible says this, though. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb. What's it mean? It says here that the full soul begins to loathe the honeycomb. What's that word loathe there? It means it begins to get tired of it. It means it gets to the point. Just keep eating. Keep eating. Gets to the point where you want to toss it on the ground and pick it up and eat it. When it says loathe, it means it gets to the point where you want to waste it. You don't want it. It seems to have no value or it's no longer tasty. Now, Michelle, keep eating. Keep eating. Is it as sweet as it was a little bit ago?
No, sir.
It starts to get old, but you just keep eating, if you will. Brother Nash, how's the honeycomb? It's old. Yeah, yeah. You see, his taste buds have made an adjustment here. The cereal has not changed. This is the very same cereal he started eating a few minutes ago. It's the very same cereal she started eating a few minutes ago. And it started out very, very sweet. But as they've eaten it, and eaten it, and eaten it, the taste buds have become accustomed to the sweet taste. Let me ask you a question. Have you become accustomed to all the good things that God has available to you, and is it becoming distasteful? Brother Nash, is it as delicious as it was a moment ago?
No, sir.
Michelle, do you just feel like chowing down and going on for a few more minutes?
Not at all.
All right, I'll take your cereal from you. Thank you. You guys did a great job. Thanks for not wasting any, Brother Nash. You see, the cereal had not changed. It was as sweet at the end as it was at the beginning. What had changed? Brother Nash had changed. Michelle had changed. Have you heard the preaching of the sweet Word of God so much that it now tastes bitter to you? I told this story. You've heard me tell it before. I tell a story about I was in Durham, North Carolina, and in my hotel room, they placed a pecan pie, a fresh homemade pecan pie. Dr. Rick Finley's mama can make the world's greatest pecan pie. And I decided I was going to have one little piece of that pecan pie. Oh, was it good. I preached all day, went to my room and cut me off a piece of that pecan pie, and I ate it. And then I got to thinking maybe I ought to eat another piece of that pecan pie. So I ate a second piece. And then I thought maybe I ought to have three pieces. So I ate a third piece. I ate pecan pie, and I it was real close to eating the whole stupid pie, but I'll tell you, by the end of the pie, the last piece didn't taste as good as the first piece did. Now, was it the same pecan pie? Absolutely it was. Same pecan pie, same recipe, out of the same pan, cooked in the same oven. Had the pecan pie changed? No, no, but I had changed. My taste buds had made an adjustment. My wife and I, we've been on vacation a little bit, and when we do that, we eat some of the foods that we like. Now, you know, I'm not an expensive kind of a person. You don't have to take me to, you know, the big fancy restaurants. And so she said, honey, what's something you like to have on vacation? I like chili dogs with Hormel chili, no beans, and nice soft buns for bread. And I said, oh, I want some of those. She said, I'll fix you some. I said, how many do you want? I said, fix the whole pack. package. I'm going for it. Well, I ate my first chili dog, and boy, was it sweet. It was good, and I enjoyed it. And then I ate my second chili dog, and I ate my third one. And I barely ate my fourth one. And there was one more, and she said, "Honey, you're not going to waste this one, are you?" I said, "No, I'll eat it too." Can I tell you, after you eat five chili dogs, fresh bread, Hormel chili, no beans, you don't want any more. What had happened? My taste buds had adjusted. Same chili, same hot dogs, same buns, very same, all of it from start to finish. Hey, the food had not changed, the bread had not changed, the meat had not changed, the honeycomb had not changed, but I had changed. I had changed. Somehow, my taste buds had adjusted. Has the sweetness of the spiritual become bitter to you? Some feel that you've had about all the Christian life you want to have. What happened to you? The Bible says, remember, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. But it goes on to say in the second part of the verse, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. The person who is, hey, there's some people in here right now would love to have some of that honeycomb. They'd love to have it. You're thinking, I like that. I mean, you might think, I could have eaten far longer than Brother Nash did or far longer than Michelle did. You might think that, but I'm going to tell you something. After you eat it and 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 eat it, if you're not careful, that which starts sweet becomes bitter. There's somebody here, though, that would love to have a piece of that honeycomb. You know, a person who's really hungry, they'll eat most anything. They really will. They'll eat most anything because of hunger. I'm going to tell you who complains about food at your house the most. It's usually the kids. You want to know why? They haven't worked at putting the food on the table. You know, the really hard workers are not really that hard to feed. Picky eaters are usually not hard, rugged workers. They don't sweat. They don't toil. Welfare people eat very well, but they're some of the most unsatisfied people in the world. Hard workers' appetites are usually easy to please, and you've heard me say this before. Ladies, if you can't cook, I recommend you marry a hard worker. He'll eat anything. If you're a raunchy cook, marry a guy that'll work hard. He'll eat it and not think twice. I remember Brother Longworth. I remember baling hay. You know something? You bale hay all day long. When you get home, you don't gripe about the food they put on the table. You don't. You cut wood. You cut and split wood all day long. At the end of the day, whatever they put in front of you, you eat it. Alive or dead. It does not matter. But the less this generation of people work, the less they appreciate their food. Because hard work develops an appetite. And so you know, hard spiritual work develops a spiritual appetite. The hardest working people I know enjoy the simplest of things. The hard workers in the church usually enjoy the spiritual food. You know, I've never heard Brother Bajent complain about the spiritual food around here. You want to know why? Because he works and works and works and works and works. He invests so much of his spiritual energy, the food that he takes in is delightful to him, and it seems to continue to be sweet. I was thinking of my secretary, Mrs. Linda Costa. She's a hard worker. I've never heard her gripe about the menu of the sermons and the preaching. But I'll tell you this, she also works hard and invests herself in the work. You know, you usually don't find the gripers and the complainers and those that feel that something is distasteful, that those are not usually the ones that are working hard and investing their energy in the work of God. Have you become accustomed to the good and the spiritual things in your Christian life? Are there things that you used to enjoy, but now you are full? Have you began to loathe the sweetness of God? That's what the Bible says will happen. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You see, when you work hard and you're hungry, even some of those things that would seem to be distasteful become satisfying because you had an appetite and you needed the food. But when you take in and take in and take in, but you don't put forth energy, you get tired of even the sweetest of things. Has your salvation become bitter? Did it used to excite you that you were saved? Was it a wonderful thing to you that you were born again? There's some here. Even as a little child, when you got saved, you couldn't wait to call grandma and grandpa, and you begged to get baptized, and you told people at the grocery store you got saved, and they didn't even know you. You had to tell everybody. You had to testify of your salvation experience. Did you know that your salvation is as sweet today as it's ever been? Do you know you're just as saved today as you have ever been? Did you know you're just as secure in Jesus Christ today as you have ever been? Did you know that everything about your salvation is identical to the day you got saved? Now, who has changed, you or your salvation? Your salvation. Your full soul begins to loathe what is sweet. But a hungry soul, even bitter things taste good. Your salvation is as sweet today as the day you received it. Do you enjoy your salvation as much today, or have you forgotten about the sweetness of salvation? Listen, you're still not going to hell. You're still going to heaven. You still have the security of a God that did all the saving. You still have all of that. It's a little bit like the driver's license. I couldn't wait to get my driver's license. I thought it was going to be the biggest thing that ever happened. Couldn't wait right after I got it. I'll tell you what, I showing that to everybody. I show my friends. I showed everybody my driver's license. I even showed it to a couple police officers that wanted to see it. And I showed that thing, and I showed it, and I showed it, and I showed it. You know something? Here I've had my driver's license all these years. I'm 46 years old. I got it when I was 16. I don't go around showing it to everybody anymore. Matter of fact, I don't want you to see it anymore. It doesn't mean so much to me. Same driver's license. I have the same privileges. It is the same honor. It gives me the same chance to drive and get around. What's changed? My driver's license? No, me. Me. And that's what begins to happen to us in regard to our salvation. You say, well, Brother Owens, what in the world do I do? Well, listen, the Bible says when your soul becomes full, some of those sweet things become bitter. But when you're hungry, the bitter things may even taste sweet to you. So what do? You go work and telling people about your salvation again. You go work and tell people about Jesus again. You work at your testimony again. You know what will happen? You start investing that spiritual energy like you did when you first got saved. You'll begin to redevelop an appetite for testifying for the Lord and telling others about Jesus Christ. See, has your sweet salvation become bitter? What do I do? Work at it. Hey, work at telling people about your salvation. Work at telling others about Jesus Christ. Why? Because you will generate a hunger. Work up a spiritual appetite for the sweet thing of your salvation. Has the sweetness of preaching become bitter to you? Remember when you first started hearing some fundamental preachers? You were thrilled. Well, you know, it's silly to me. I don't understand it. There are children and young people across the country. I have some sermons that I preach are called red hot sermons. Boy, those are mean. Knock down, drag out, spit in your eye, wild sermons. And they love them. They eat them up. I go all the time to churches where parents will say, come here, let me show you what my boy can do. Go over, some little 6-year-old, 7-year-old boy can preach my sermon by memory. My boy goes to sleep at night listening to these sermons. I thought, my goodness, my deacons go to sleep during the day at church listening to my sermons. This is a wonderful thing. But listen, you remember back when you enjoyed preaching? Do you remember back when, as a new Christian, you were amazed at the preaching? Do you remember back when it was sweet? Hey, the preaching's not changed. What changed? The preaching has not changed. Maybe it's you that's changed. You listened to preaching tapes and you couldn't get enough of it. That doesn't interest you anymore. What happened? Has the sweetness of preaching become bitter to you? You used to love reading spiritual books and things that would teach you of God, but that, now you're not interested anymore. You wanted to attend every church service, and you were excited to hear the preaching. And hey, you would travel some distance to go hear some preacher preach. Now you're miserable from the walk from the church parking lot into the church. Are you full? Honestly, have you become fat? You've eaten and eaten and eaten of the sweetness of the things of God, and now you almost loathe the sweetness of God's Word. Why? Because you've eaten and eaten. But let me tell you something. You want to get yourself hungry again? Then go work at living what is preached. Because if you'll work at what is preached, it will redevelop your taste for the sweetness of God's Word. You used to look forward to camps and revivals and conferences and Sunday school and Sunday morning church and Sunday night church and Wednesday night church. But has the sweetness of preaching become bitter to you? Do you gripe about the length of the sermons? Do you gripe about, hey, when the preacher gets with it and preaches some hard truth, you used to like it. What happened? Now the preaching's the same. But the Bible says, when our souls are full of sweet things, those sweet things virtually become bitter to us. So what do we do? Well, we know that when someone's hungry, they'll eat just about anything. You better keep yourself hungry for preaching. How do you do that? You work at the preaching. You work at living it. That burns up the spiritual energy and will keep you hungry for preaching. Has the sweetness of church become bitter to you? When you first got saved, church was exciting. You loved church. You loved it. You loved it. You wanted to be there. You didn't want to miss anything. You were a part of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You wanted everyone to know. You told everyone about it. Now do you have to force yourself to come to church? You can't wait until the services are over. You wish that our church would cancel Sunday night and Wednesday night like all the liberal churches do. You remember when you seen someone baptized and then another and another and another? You said, isn't this fantastic? Now it's old hat, boring, unimportant. You love being in a vibrant, growing church. Now it's a bother because you have to work at finding a seat and work at finding a parking spot. Has it been so sweet so long that you don't like the taste of revival anymore? Do you have to lose the good things that you have to learn to appreciate them and to get them back into your diet? By the way, our church's sweetness has not changed. It's not changed. So it's just not sweet to me anymore. Same church, same Bible, same preaching, same type of a music program. Who changed? You see, the fat or the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. But the hungry soul, even the bitter things, are sweet to them. What do I do? Well, let me ask you this question. You say, I don't enjoy the church. Then what work are you putting into it? You're going to find something out. Do you know that the people that are out here working on these buildings, working on the music program, working on the grounds, working at bringing visitors, working at and praying for this church, I'll promise you, they are far hungrier for the food served around here. Why? Because they spent their week investing their spiritual energy and they find themselves at mealtime hungry. But look, if all you do is show up to eat, and you do nothing for God, and then you show up to eat, and you do nothing for God, and you show up to eat, and you do nothing for God, you're going to get fat and sassy, and the sweetness of the things of God will become bitter to you. You say, well, they don't want it, they enjoy it, they're so involved. Exactly. Exactly. They are burning their spiritual energy and they're not full and loathing the sweetness of the things of God. Good homes are somewhat the same way. Have you had the privilege of living in a sweet Christian home? Mom and dad who's attended church put you in a Christian school? A family who tries to serve God? But wait, has living in that family become bitter to you? You say, I don't want to live this way anymore. What happened? What happened? How is it that that sweet home atmosphere, that Christian home, and some of you ought to thank God you have a mom and dad that wants you in church, and thank God that you have a mom and dad that want to serve God. But what begins to happen is you take in, and you take in, and you take in, and you eat of the sweetness of a mom and dad that come to church, and eat of the sweetness of a Christian school, and you eat of the sweetness of the protection of an old-fashioned Baptist church, and you take in, and you take in, and before long you say, this is just too sweet. This doesn't taste good to me anymore. Look, it's as sweet as it's ever been. You're the one that's changed. Your taste buds have soured. So you say, what do I do? Why don't you work at making your home a good place? Why don't you work at making your home a wonderful atmosphere? Why don't you work at making home all that it ought to be for the Lord? The thing is, somebody's provided an atmosphere for you. Somebody provided that Christian home for you. Somebody provided that Christian school for you. Somebody else worked at it. Daddy worked day and night. Mama worked day and night to put you in that Christian school. And they worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. So mom and dad, they appreciate it and they enjoy it. And the sweet is still sweet to them, but it's sour to you because you've not done any work. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, even the bitter can be sweet. Your job, it can be the same way. There are people that when you were employed at your place of employment, when you got that job, you said, wow, this is great. This is the place I wanted to work. This is the shift I wanted. This is fantastic. Now, you can care less. The sweet has become bitter. Have you become lazy at work? Is your heart no longer in it? So what do? Well, work up an appetite for appreciation for your job. Go throw yourself into it. Get something done. Go accomplish something. Hey, go sacrifice and make the place where you work a success, and you'll find that suddenly you'll have a rekindling of an appetite for that sweet thing that God gave you. You ought to thank God you have a job. You ought to thank God that you're employed. You ought to thank God that you have money so you can support your family. But what happens to us is we get in there and we get the sweetness and we take in and we take in and we enjoy those benefits and we enjoy those hours and we enjoy that vacation. And before long, it doesn't matter what they give you. It's not enough. What's happened? Has the job changed? In most cases, no, it has not. Who's changed? You've changed. The sweetness of the blessing of God has just, you just had it piled on. And it's to the point now that you loathe the sweetness. So what do? You go out and work up a spiritual appetite, and you work hard, and you invest yourself. You'll find yourself appreciating again. You know, a good husband or wife can be the same way. Some of you, back when you were courting or dating, you couldn't wait. You wanted her. You wanted to marry her. You loved the color of her hair. You loved it when she cooked you a meal. You looked at that man, and you said, boy, just what I was looking for. Tall, dark, handsome, muscular guy. I mean, I like the way he walks and the way he talks and the way he smells. That's what I've always wanted. Now, you're unsatisfied. You loathe what you once lusted. Who's changed? Well, he probably has, I'm sure. And she probably has. But in most cases, your mates have matured. They understand more about love, and more about God, and more about marriage. They spent years and years giving birth to your children, cleaning your house, taking care of your laundry, spent years and years feeding you, paying for the insurance of the house. You listen to me. In most cases, your mate's in better shape. I'm talking about financially, emotionally, and all that, not physically. But they're in better shape now than what they were when you married them. But you loathe it. So what do? Invest in your mate.
work up a spiritual appetite for your mate. Start serving her. Start serving him. Do good unto her. Do good unto him. You see, when you take in and take in and take in and take in, and we taste the sweetness, and we have the sweetness of the blessing, and the sweetness of God, and the sweet blessings of God on our life, if we take it in long enough, even the sweet things can become bitter. But what do? We must make ourselves hungry. And even hungry people will eat that which seems to be bitter. Make yourself hungry. Invest yourself. How do you make yourself hungry? You work. You work at it. Work at that marriage. Work at doing things for your husband. Work at doing things for your wife. Work while you're down at your place of employment. Work at making that home what it ought to be. And you will find the sweetness will return. The sweetness will return. You take your ministry here at the church. Whether it's your Sunday school class, or your bus route, your Christian school, your soul winning, whatever it is. You see, we take in the sweetness of the blessing of God and the sweetness of the things that God's done for us. And if we're not careful, the sweet things develop into bitter things. And we don't want that. So what must we do? We must keep an appetite for spiritual things. Keep yourself hungry for God. You know, people who are full of the sweet things of God must work for God if they want to continue to hunger for the sweet things of God. If you want the sweet to remain sweet, use the spiritual energy you get from the sweet food to serve Him. If the things of God are not sweet to you, then you're not serving Him enough. It can stay sweet. I'm going to tell you who... You don't have to be real smart to pastor church. I'm living proof of it. I'm not a real smart person. But you know, I can tell you the kinds of people that won't stay with this church for a long time. It's the ones that do nothing but watch. Right. You want to know why? Because we'll preach to them, and at first they'll say, boy, that's sweet, that's good. And then we'll preach to them some more, and they'll come around, they say, I like the sweet atmosphere, I like that sweet music, I like the sweet property, I like these sweet people. But you take it in, and 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 you sat there, and you swell, and you get bigger, and bigger, and fatter, and fatter, and before long you say, I just don't like this anymore. It doesn't taste good anymore. Why? Because all you do is take in, and take in, and take in, and take in. And just like Brother Nash eating the honeycomb, at first it was delightful. At first it was sweet. At first he wanted some. But after he ate, and he ate, and he ate, and he ate, and he ate, before long he said, this no longer tastes good to me. Some of you are going to ruin yourself. Because you sit there like a bump on a log, and all you do is eat. And eat. And eat. And eat. And eat. And he said, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens. Well, some of those sermons, they're like cheesecake. And they're like pecan pie. Oh, I like it when you pour on the fudge. Oh, I like it. Wow, come on, let's eat, let's eat, let's eat. Yeah, you'll eat and eat and eat, and before long, you'll be my enemy. All you do is eat. You eat and you eat and you eat and you eat and you eat. You must take the energy from the food that you're fed and reinvest it, because if you don't, you're not going to stay hungry. You take it in. You work it out. You take it in. You work it out. It's a natural concept. It's what your body does. That's what you must do spiritually. Some people get so full of the good or the sweet that they might even change to go eat something bitter. Watch Christian school graduates, and so many, your common Christian school, have kids that go all the way through the school. Watch them the summer after graduation. They run off, start living like a bunch of animals. Now, thank God that we have a group of seniors that graduated this year. They're still in church, and they're still serving God, and they're still soul winning, but I've seen it over and over and over again. What happens? They take in the sweet, and they take in the sweet, and they take in the sweet, and they take in the sweet. They finally get to the point where they say, I just don't want any of this anymore. It doesn't taste good anymore. What they should have done that summer after graduation is jump in headlong into the ministry and work off some of the investment that everybody else put into them, instead of saying, I've had it. I'm pushing away from the table. I'll go live my own life. I'll do what I want to do. So they go out looking for something different on their taste buds.
They leave the church and go into the world. They eat of the devil's bitter menu. And it tastes sweet to them for a little while. Because the Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but for a short season.
If seemingly this is a good change, this is what I've been looking for. No, what you were looking for was spiritually investing yourself and using the energy from the spiritual food that you were fed and investing it back into the things of God. And then you could perpetually enjoy the sweetness of the Word of God.
The bitter taste of the world is the devil's poison.
The bitter taste of the world. Some say, I want to change. I want to change. So they turn away from God. They go out into the world and they begin to suck on a piece of candy from the devil. And it's sweet because it's sugar-coated poison. And you'll sooner or later suck past the sugar. And you'll hit the poison. And the devil will ruin your life.
The Bible says, a full soul loatheth and honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Has your salvation that was once sweet to you become bitter?
What do I do? Well, you take the sweetness of salvation and the energy God's given you. You invest it back into the work of God. You testify of your salvation. Go tell somebody else how to be born again. Stand up and tell somebody Jesus saved. Suddenly you find yourself hungry again, and it will rejuvenate the sweet taste of salvation. Has the sweetness of preaching become bitter? Hey, work at living what is preached. Work at spreading what is preached. And the spiritual energy that you eat up by investing yourself will make the preaching sweet to you again. Has the sweetness of church become bitter? Invest yourself in the church. Hey, get involved. Hey, you do something around here. So when you walk in, you say, I had a part in that. I invested in that. I helped to make that happen. You'll enjoy the church services. They'll become sweet again. Has your home become bitter? Invest in that home. Has your job become bitter that was once sweet? Invest. Hey, every husband, every wife, every ministry, if you're not careful, you'll take in the sweetness. Take it in and take it in. And before long, you're saying, this isn't sweet anymore. I'll tell you something. Some of you men, you say, I'm just tired of my wife. There are some men, if they were married to your wife, would feel like they were married to a queen. What's happened to you? You've stopped appreciating what God's done for you. Reinvest yourself into her. Reinvest into that mate. Reinvest. Hey, I said this, I think it's a week ago, Wednesday night or so. Lady said to me, she said, Brother Owens, I've heard ladies complain because their husbands are busy down working at the church. She began to cry. She said, I wish they wouldn't do that around me. I would give anything if my husband would be involved in the church. I would give anything if he was busy down at the church. I'd much rather have him busy at the church than not interested in the things of God. Now you listen to me. Some of you are married to a husband or wife, to others would be a king or a queen in God's service. But you've had it well, and you've had the sweetness of a good home or a good marriage so long you virtually loathe it. You better redevelop a hunger by reinvesting your energy and working, because people that work hard in any given area of life enjoy the spoils 10 times better than the lazy loafers that just come along for the free ride. Don't eat of the devil's bitter menu. Has your sweetness become sour? Have the sweet things of life become bitter? If so, I'm going to guess, whatever it is probably as sweet today as it was the first time that you tasted it. It's not the sweetness of God's Word that's changed. It's as sweet as ever. It's you and I that change. And most of the time it's because we've taken in so much and put out so very little that we're full and we're fat and we're overflowing with blessing and we don't even recognize it. We'll even turn from the things of God to the things of the devil to get a new taste in our mouth. When all we needed to do was reinvest the energy from the food God's been feeding us. And suddenly, our body says, that tastes good. I'm going to get some more of that. Don't let your sweet become bitter. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.